Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Thank you, Pastor James. Thank you so much. It's just such a joy to be here. Want to again thank Pastor James and Miss Debbie and Pastor Mike and the team and all that you're doing. We're so grateful. We're so grateful for your involvement and what you mean to this world, as Pastor Steve said. Amen. So thank you so much. I'm thrilled to have with me today my wonderful wife, my beautiful wife, my wife Karen. Would you stand up, honey? Just say hi to everybody. I know that wonderful video about the history of every nation. That was great. The only little thing is that said we've been married 29 years. We're going on 37 years. And 37 years. I've had Karen and I raised five daughters. They're all adult now. We have three son-in-laws and nine grandchildren. And every time one of them call us, we all live real close together, they want one of three things. They're either in a crisis and they don't know what to do. They want money. They need money. Or three, they want us to watch their kids. Pastor James, I never answer when they call. I never answer. Every time it rings, I go, oh, no. What do they want now? You give me Pastor Rice. I've just got a few minutes, and I want to just take a moment. Again, I want to shout out Pastor Mike and Julie Gowans out in the West Coast, Bethel Phoenix out there. Welcome with us. Pastor James asked me to share a thought on spiritual family. One of the great foundations of our network, our community of churches around the world, is that we want to build relationally. We want to build right theology, right principle, all those things critically important, but also we want to build on a relational foundation as well. Relationship. And you know what? Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that just sound poetic? Like, you know, we're going to be a relational. But if you have lived long enough, you'll realize this. Relationships can be challenging. Amen. They can be challenging. And I'm skipping all my notes and thoughts here, and I'm jumping to this. The title of my thought here in these just in a few minutes is this. Listen to this. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. You know, relationships are so important to God. They're critical to God, who our friends are. And this is why, and maybe the team can put up that scripture there in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. The scriptures say this, walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, the New Testament says this, don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. You see, God is the author of relationship. He dwells in eternal relationship, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I love in Ephesians when Paul writes that the God from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. You see, God's the one that has established this principle of influence, that we influence one another's lives in a big, big way. It's so important. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me the people you hang out with, and I'll show you what you're going to become. Think about this. And I know some of us might be thinking, no matter, I'm independent, I'm strong, I don't need anybody. Whether you realize it or not, somebody is influencing your life. forming you, causing you to do things, influencing your decisions and your choices. You say, not me. No, yes, someone is doing that. That is why this point, God wants to place right relationships in your life. Can you say amen? God's busy wanting to put the right friends in your life. Why? Because it's impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. Impossible. You say, now you're exaggerating, Pastor. No, I'm telling you the truth. That's what the scriptures say. It's impossible to live the right life with the wrong friends. It's impossible. I was going to make some funny jokes about Facebook and French, you know, here we go, Pastor Jane. Here's the definition of a modern day friend. Okay, here's the cultural view of a modern day friend. Someone you may or may not know well, who accepts your friend request. This person is born to like and comment on your posts. And most importantly, make you feel good about yourself all the time. Isn't that what's it? Man, culturally, a friend is someone that likes everything you do and makes you feel good about yourself all the time. Now, that's a cultural definition. That's, unfortunately, not God's definition. I mean, that sounds good to me. Wouldn't you just want a boatload of people around you that just make you feel good all the time? That's how I see it. That's what those are the kind of friends I would choose. Not necessarily the kind that God wants to put in your life relationally. Matter of fact, the scriptures say this, and you've heard this so many times. Proverbs 27:17. There are so many great scriptures about biblical friendship, but this stands out the most: as iron sharpens iron. Oh, no. So a friend sharpens a friend. Oh, let me tell you something. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. God wants to put the right people in your life. And the right reason for his what? To stretch you, to form you, to influence you. Glory be to God. I was thinking about this morning, Pastor James. I was thinking about from the moment I got saved, how God began to form my life with people of steel all around me. You see, some of you heard me this testimony. I'm the youngest of five in my family. I'm the baby of the family. Any babies of the family in here? I love you guys because our whole philosophy of life is have a good time. And here, most importantly, if there's any pain involved, run. If there's any difficulty involved, run. Hide. It's not right. It's not worth it. You see, in my natural man, my proclivity is to run toward my comfort. This was my whole mindset. I want you to know that at 17 years old, I was radically filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, I speak in tongues. Don't get me going now. I'm a full spirit-filled believer. It radically transformed my life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm reading my Bible. I've got all this good. I'm listening to God. But God knew he couldn't get me where I needed to be without putting the right people in my life. As much as it, my commitment and my love of God was just big and strong, but there was something wrong with this attitude of mine that said anything that's difficult can't be the will of God. Anything that rubs me the wrong way can't be the will of God. Here's what I want to leave you with this morning. Rarely, if ever, and I probably should just, I should stop saying that and say never, does God do anything like I think he should do. Have you noticed that? He doesn't answer my prayers like he should. He doesn't do what I know he should be doing. Pastor Dan, you feeling me anymore? He doesn't do. And of course, typical to that, the friends he picks for me are not necessarily who I would have picked. The wife he picked for me. I'm not used to her being here. I'm not used to her. I gotta be real. Pastor Jane, I'll be real careful here. I'll be in big trouble. That's not worth it. It's not worth it, Jane. It's not worth it. My wife, Karen, is the oldest of seven. And you know, any firstborns in here, stay away from me. I don't want to talk to you. I'm tired of you firstborns telling us lastborns what to do. Tired of it. Don't you think we've got any sense? What is it? What is it with you firstborns? You know everything. You got the answer to everything. Yeah, James, you feeling me, man? You know, through a series of supernatural revelation, I met my wife, had never met her before, didn't even know her name. But the moment I saw her, the Holy Spirit whispered to me that that is your wife. That is your wife. Didn't know her, never spoke to her, but I knew she would learn eventually to worship me. This is fine, right? This is fine, right? What are y'all laughing about? I don't get the joke. I knew that her top priority would be to do whatever I said, too. See? God, I was stupid. Now, of course, she was gorgeous and beautiful, so the Lord tricked me. I always told him, God, you tricked me into this. She was just the strong firstborn. God knew exactly, as he always does, perfectly, the perfect compliment. I 37 years later, I continue to marvel at the handy work of God. What he knew that I didn't know. I know the marriage relationship is a different type of relationship, but there's similarities in these friendships. I want you to know, I'll say this for all of my life. Pastor Rice Brooks is the most exciting friend I've ever had. I mean, he transformed my life with thinking big, dreaming big. We can do this. There's nothing we can't do. The faith, the spirit of faith, the dream, you know, is it any surprise that his books are best-selling, that his movies are big? There's not. He's big. He lifts Phil Benasso out of his smallness into something bigger. I can't live without. It's the handiwork of God. To hold on to him. Pastor Steve, he's the one that has forever kept me focused on the world. He won't let me get selfish and introverted and just think about my own church and my own needs. Forever he's caused me to be a global man, to think globally, to think about the nations. He's always pulled us all out of our own smallness into this bigger level. God wants to put friends in your life that force you to change, to grow, to stretch, to become. He, you know, I love this word, healthy tension. Tension's not a comfortable feeling, is it? God wants that iron to sharpen that iron. I'm going to close with this. What relationships has God maybe put in our life that we're not cultivating properly? Maybe that where's my piano playing? Anybody up here with a prayer? Where's my prayer? I need a little music to help me here. Okay, maybe I'll hum along as I think, Pastor James. I want to pray with me. That's what I want to say. Pray with me about three things. Who are the right relationships in your life that maybe you're separating from because of attention, but yet that's the Lord's hand to sharpen? Secondly, what relationships are in your life that maybe God's trying to move out of your life? That maybe He's trying to move out of your life. This morning, Holy Spirit, come and open our eyes once again to how, Father, you do friendship, to how you put people in our life for a reason, to change us, to stretch us, to help us to become all that you want us to be. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Amen. Love you so much. Bless you.
Come on, hold on, Daddy. I got to hug you. I got to hug you. You sharpen me. He sharpens me. He sharpens us. Come on, give God a big God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Communicators want the gift that you experienced today. The gift to have that word on the inside of you and to dispense it in such a life-giving way where you heard something that was really tough. It's difficult. It's not simple. It's not always easy. But every one of us is going out of here knowing that it's right. And God's plan for our life is really to get us sharpened. And you may have never picked this church even. Maybe you're tired of the message of this church and you're just waiting on it to change. It's not going to change. But you can become sharper. You can become more like the people who initiated it and said yes to God. Stand to your feet. Ministry team, I'd like you to come down. Christy, come here. My last instruction for you. You got 60 seconds to say this. I'm gonna give her 60. But I want to encourage each of you to go out for a $15 donation in the lobby. So don't leave right away and get this 100 years book. It's written by our current president, Pastor Steve Merle. And you need to know what the life's gonna look like 100 years from now if we do our part. And you need something that's gonna challenge you not to just be a pew sitter. You are at the wrong church if you just want to sit. You'll never be comfortable here. It would be us just using you if we couldn't challenge you. It's not what we do. Every member a minister. Be challenged today. Go out and get something that can radically sharpen you if you say yes. We don't ever sell books around here. This is like taking a piece of you that you didn't know you were missing and saying, oh, that's who I am. That's where I'm going. So, Christy, close the service and encourage us on it.
Well, I do encourage you to get the book. It's amazing, great. I don't want to use too many adjectives, but it really is life-changing and a piece of the puzzle that I believe that you should all have as we grow together and as we disciple not only our city but the nations. And that's really what the gist of the book is, how we want to be 100 years from now. So please go get it. So let's close. Lord, we thank you for this moment in time, this monumental moment in time. And I do thank you for these men and their wives and their families, Father God, who just said yes. And I thank you that each one of us in this room, we can just say, yes, Lord, send me. And I pray that as we go along our day, Lord, that that would be echoing in our ears. Lord, send me. Use me mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you. Dismiss any prayer needs you have whatsoever. We're here. And by the way, I did not lose in tug of war. In fact, I won the first battle. And then they said 2 out of 3 and all that. But, you know, the winner is the winner. I am the winner. God has made me that way. God bless you. Dismiss. I'll see you back at church on Wednesday night.